Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at the EMV conversion at the pump and the extended deadline of April 2021. And more specifically, what the extension means for fuel merchants and how they can protect themselves before, during, and after the EMV conversion deadline. So to help me with today's episode, I have Bobby Kirschkeski, who is the Director of Solutions Consulting at ACI Worldwide, and Raymond Pucci, who is the Director of Merchant Services at Mercator Advisor Group. Now on this episode, we're going to be referencing a couple of charts. And for those of you who are following along on paymentsjournal.com, you'll be able to view those charts in the article below. So without any further delay, let's start the show. So Bobby and Ray, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about the EMV conversion at the pump. Now, Ray, if we could start with you, we've got these two great charts provided to us by Mercator Advisor Group, and I was hoping that you could break them down for our audience.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me, and great to be joining you, Bobby, on this podcast. Right. As part of our Mercator primary data surveys that we do, we were asking consumers about their visits to gas stations, as well as the preferred payment methods that they're using at gas stations. And we found that more than 80%, actually 84% of consumers are visiting a gas station at least monthly. So obviously that's a very high payment volume environment that we're finding. I don't think that that's a major surprise, but as far as the preferred payment method, we're seeing that more than half of the people, almost 60%, are using plastic. That really fits in, I guess you might call that, particularly if there's no EMV capability at the gas pump, that would be really a fraudster's delight, because plastic would really be the most vulnerable payment method at gas pumps that do not have the EMV enabled terminal there. So those are some of the highlights that came out of our primary data survey.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that deep dive there, Ray. Now, Bobby, I'd like to get from your explanation, right? So we recently were given the information that the EMV deadline at the pump has been extended until April 2021 here. But I've really got to ask, so why are so many fuel stations businesses not EMV compliant yet?
Well, thanks, Ryan, and thanks to you and Ray for letting me share my views today. Well, the main reason is it's quite expensive, primarily because there's a lot of systems that have to be upgraded to be able to deploy EMV. You know, not just the pump, there are point-of-sale systems, pump controllers, in-store payment systems, you know, payment terminals, even communication lines out to the pump that are kind of old and buried. The projects can be long, they can be complex, and they require EMV certifications with one or more payment processors downstream. So, you know, because of the expense and the complexity, some merchants just are waiting to see what happens, and others are just running behind in making their capital expenses investments and starting the projects. Of course, COVID-19 hasn't helped any of this, and there's a little bit of relief that's just come down the path with the extension to April of next year. But most of the merchants that we're dealing with are probably going to be running pretty hard to make that date as well.
That's right, Bobby. And I agree. There's certainly an enhanced amount of complexity converting a fuel pump compared with thinking back a few years when point of sale terminals, you know, at merchant sites had to be converted. And even though that was a simpler conversion, I recall it, as you may as well, that even though merchants had the right terminal and software, that had to be certified. And I know there was a backup in getting terminals certified. So I expect that's going to come into play here again, even beyond, you know, the situation that you mentioned in terms of the complexity and the cost. And of course, maybe I'll head in that procrastination is part of human nature. And now that the deadline is April of 2021, I'm sure that gas station operators might breathe a sigh of relief, but you know, it's not that far it's almost a year ahead, but comes up faster than most people think.
Yeah, it'll be on top of this before you know it.
Excellent. Now I've really got to kind of go to the next logical point here in terms of just, Bobby, from your perspective, what sort of impact are, you know, these fuel stations that are not EMV compliant by 2021, what are they really going to be facing if they decide that, hey, we're going to blow past even this extended deadline here?
Well, I could sum it up pretty much in one word, and that's fraud. Most merchants don't experience a ton of chargebacks today at their pumps, but that's mainly because issuers don't have a lot of leverage to win a chargeback based on the fact that the magnetic stripes that they use today can't be easily hacked, right? So, but with EMV, the banks have really stepped up to the plate to invest in a more expensive card with better security, a smart chip on that card, and it's almost impossible to counterfeit. So the banks have made this investment, and the card associations have really forced the merchants to match that investment by upgrading their fuel pumps to accept these cards as well. So, you know, the net effect for merchants, this was proven out, as Ray pointed out, in the first EMV wave in 2015, which excluded fuel pumps, is that merchants that don't deploy EMV will see a significant increase in the number of chargebacks that they receive from the banks that issue the cards simply because they can. And this will create a scenario where the merchants have to absorb additional costs. In some cases, those costs can be 2 to 3 times the cost of the original fraud. So this is labor costs, chargeback fees, and in some cases, angry customers that were impacted by the fraud. And, you know, honestly, if that isn't bad enough, fraudsters are really good at finding the weakest link in the payment chain to make their attacks. We saw this pattern again in 2015, where self-service channels like the web and mobile devices and, of course, automated dispensers, the fraudster doesn't have to meet the merchant face-to-face. Those become places where fraud takes place.
Exactly, Bobby. That self-service aspect that you see in many of the gas stations, particularly, you know, these multi-island gas stations, and there are some pumps, you know, very far away from a cashier or an in store, you know, often connected with the C store. So fraudsters can be very, very smart in how they ply their trade, in being able to steal some of the card data, certainly at these remote pumps. But fuel station operators, you know, will have their eyes open very wide once they see the fraud and the chargeback situation. The chargeback process is very, very labor intensive for retailers, and you know, that's just not a road to go down. So all the more reason why EMV enabled fuel pumps are so important, just to head off the chargebacks and the fraud scenarios that it's going to happen, and the tools here are evident for fuel pump operators to be able to take the steps now and not wait until the April 2021 deadline to convert to EMV.
Yeah, I certainly think that both of you hit it right on the head there with just the fraud aspect. And I think it's very interesting. And I'm going to just kind of do a little bit of speculating here and say that for those organizations that don't, the fraud is going to be worse, because this conversion and this kind of non-compliance thing has really been heavily advertised, right? It's not like a little software update where a small fraction of people are aware of potentially maybe this little loophole or something like that, that a fraudster could manipulate and attack. This is something that's been essentially advertised, that it's kind of like, hey, if you're not compliant by this deadline, then, you know, all the liability shifts over to there. And fraudsters are going to be very aware of this and are going to be kind of almost sitting there and looking for particular fuel stations that are not going to be compliant as this deadline reaches, because they know, hey, here's the easy target. And this has been promoted so much that it's almost kind of hard for a fraudster to not pay attention to those headlines and kind of say, hey, here could be the next potential job opportunity for them to be able to manipulate the system. But I'd like to kind of focus on some of the organizations that are in the process currently of becoming EMV compliant at the pump here. And Bobby, I'd love to take it from your organization's aspect of what are some of the measures that they can take right now while they're going through this process of being EMV compliant to kind of help better secure themselves?
So for sure, there's ways to fight fraud before the pumps have been upgraded to take EMV. You know, one of the best ways to do this is with a fraud screening service that monitors the transactions that originate from the fuel pumps using analytics and rules engines to detect fraudulent patterns in real time. And this is before the transaction's been even gone to the bank. You know, it's declined by the fraud engine if it's counterfeit card, for example, or perhaps forcing the customer to come into the store to complete the payment where the terminals are already EMV ready. You know, most of these were deployed over the last 5 years or so as fuel pumps that don't take EMV cards became better targets, as Ray said, for the attack than the store. And, you know, of course, the store was quite protected with the EMV devices. But, you know, it's amazing. The fraud screening tools are really very smart. I mean, they're able to track card uses across all of the fuel merchant stores using velocity rules to limit purchases or to stop selected cards. You know, these solutions are also able to tap into broader databases. We call them consortium databases that are shared across merchants. And these systems find and detect fraud patterns and stolen cards outside of the fuel merchant's base of stores. So they're really quite powerful. The other thing that our customers are doing while the patient is open and they're implementing EMV is they're deploying point-to-point encryption at the pump. Again, this is something that we did for many merchants, almost every merchant at this point, in store after the Target breaches and the series of breaches that happened like 5-6 years ago. We implemented these point-to-point encryption systems, and we're now deploying those same kind of solutions at the pump, as some of our merchants have had problems with breaches at the pump since their in-store systems were tied down. So ultimately, we're looking to help merchants avoid data breaches, which can damage their reputation. And we're doing that for the industry, you know, in general.
That's right, Bobby. I think we've seen, as you're alluding to, the what the physical store merchants, you know, the non-fuel merchants, when POS terminals converted to EMV a few years back, most of the fraud transitioned to online and e-commerce sales. So that was really a good testing ground for all the fraud fighting, fraud management solutions that you're mentioning, Bobby, you have machine learning tools and algorithms that have been very, very successful in combating e-commerce fraud. So that's why fuel merchants need to take a page out of that book that the e-commerce merchants have successfully been using to fight fraud and install some of these fraud-fighting techniques up until the time that they convert to EMV, and fraud management will still be necessary after EMV, but it'll be a more manageable situation, I think.
Yeah, and the other point I would make, Ray, is that we're also beginning to see this convergence. You know, we've had classic in store, and then classic online, and then classic at the pump, and now we're starting to see the convergence of the digital with the physical. So mobile apps that interface with pumps to allow transactions to take place, perhaps a smart car, you know, the console in a car, and integrations that sort of mesh the customer experience with their digital device with the purchase experience, perhaps invite the customer to come into the store to make a purchase or pick up a sandwich that they ordered in advance while they're getting their gas, things like that. And so you need a holistic fraud detection service that can sort of wrap around all of those different transaction types, transactions that originate on a digital device that end up in the store, that originate in the store or originate at the pump.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we're seeing a lot more of mobile app use by the national gas retailers to make it really convenient for drivers to locate a gas station and then, you know, via their mobile app and then make the payment via their mobile app. So that, you know, that digital ordering, which of course is very popular, as we're seeing now with QSRs, and they've been very, they have some great fraud management tools for their mobile app ordering, mobile order and pay. So that's another way for fuel merchants to be able to combat fraud, especially as now we're going to be seeing more mobile apps coming to a gas station near you.
So now, Bobby, you have a very unique position in this conversation here, where obviously you work for ACI worldwide, and they obviously provide solutions to better protect fuel pump merchants during this EMV conversion. So perhaps maybe you could kind of explain what some of those products and services are and how they can help to protect those fuel pump merchants.
You bet, Ryan. So we've been in what we call the omni-commerce space for quite some time now. What that means is providing payment acceptance capabilities across all channels for our merchants. Those are merchants that have stores, merchants that have pumps, merchants that have mobile apps, et cetera. So through partnerships with major vendors in the fuel space specifically, vendors like Gilbarco and Wayne, who make pumps and Verifone, and Gilbarco, who make point of sale systems, and other vendors in the space, we've been able to deliver turnkey EMV and point-to-point encryption solutions. So we can really help the merchant as they look at these projects, frame these projects out, and consider, if they're an existing customer, how those infrastructures can be expanded to support fuel. If it's a new customer, how they might replace their infrastructure and base that on an omni-commerce platform from ACI.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Bobby and Ray, for taking the time today for speaking to me about the EMV conversion at the pump. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks very much,
Thank
Ryan.
So much.
Good to be with you again, Bobby.
You too, Ray.